attorney, advocate, author, public speaker, The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600. Flip that switch and turn on your brain. Here is Lisa Wexler.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
What is going down? Welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show. Do you know? 203-333-9422. Shall we try and make sense of this all? Listen, let's just, okay, from 40,000 feet, acknowledge that we only know what they want to tell us. All right, let's not be that stupid to pretend that what we see in the newspaper is all of what's happening. It's just like this tiny little bit, but we can work on it because, you know, what else have we got? So let's talk a little bit about what's happening in the nether regions. Have you ever been to Iran? I've never been to Iran. Have you ever been to Iraq? I've never been to Iraq. If you have, give us a call. Maybe you're a vet. 203-333-9422. I'd love to know you're on the ground observations of what the people are like there, what the place is like there, because I've never been. I've never, frankly, had a desire to go. I've never wanted to push the envelope that way. When I have a vacation, I think, Italy, Italy, Italy. That's what I think, Italy, Italy. A friend of mine asked me the other day, and she really meant this in all seriousness, my cousin, she said to me, can I ask you why you go back to Italy so much? So I said, Debbie, Let me just explain to you. I went to Italy when we were 40, when we were 50, and when my husband turned 60. That's three times in 20 years. I don't think it's that much. But I talk about it so much in between, she thought I'd been there all the time. And in response to her question, I said, it's because it's the one place, particularly for my husband, where we know if we go, we're going to have a great time. And when your resources for time and money are finite, when they're limited, I know it's a big world. I've been to a lot of places in the world. But when you only have 1 or 2 weeks a year sometimes, and you just want to know that you're going to have a great time, you might as well hop a plane to Italy. Am I right? So anyway, and besides, it's such a big country, there's so much of it that I haven't even seen that I could keep coming back and still explore different regions and feel like I went on a new vacation every time, which is what we've done. First time we went, we did, you know, the Florence, we did the Rome, Florence, Venice trip. The next time we went, we spent the whole time in Capri except for a couple of days in Ischia. And the third time we went, we were in Como in the northern part. So it was like three different vacations in one country. Anyway, the reason I mention this and the reason I'm talking about it is because it is a giant world. And there are parts of the world that are always in turmoil. And one of those parts happens to be the Middle East. So let's talk a little bit about what's happening in the world. Because what's happening in the Middle East is that, just to bring you up to date, we have an embassy that we built in Iraq that when we built it was a fortress, is a fortress. When we spent money on building our embassy in Iraq, it was by far the largest and most expensive U.S. embassy we've ever built in the world. This is not an average embassy by any means. It is a huge compound in Iraq. And apparently what we're hearing is that in response to, and again, nobody knows who really started the chicken or the egg, but in response to something that caused offense with the Iranians, so let me just back up a little bit. There are two huge sects of the Muslim world. There are others as well, but the big main ones are the Sunni and the Shiite. Most of the Muslim world in the Middle East is Sunni. Saudi Arabia, for example, is Sunni. Most of the Middle Eastern world is Sunni. But you know what's not Sunni? Iran. Iran is not Sunni. Iran is Shiite. And Iran's neighbor, Iraq, is majority Shiite, minority Sunni. But the Husseins, Saddam Hussein, the kingdom of Hussein that ruled Iraq, was a minority Sunni ruling a majority Shiite. That was part of the problem that was there all the time. So when we got rid of Saddam Hussein, ironically, that left an opportunity for the Shiite majority to take over the government of Iraq, which they did in their elections. And their natural ally in the Middle East turned out to be none other than Iran. Because the majority Shiite in Iraq ally themselves with the same sect of Muslims, which are the Shiites in Iran. So even though we went into Iraq in what history will deem to be a terribly ill-fated venture to begin with, we know this. We know that Osama bin Laden was never there to begin with. And for a lot of wrong reasons, we decided to make Saddam Hussein our enemy. In the end, by creating a destabilized Iraq, we created an opportunity for Iran to ally itself with Iraq when historically Saddam Hussein's ruling of Iraq and the war between Iraq and Iran had kept Iran's political ambitions to a minimum because they were so busy fighting their neighbor Iraq. They were so busy fighting Iraq that they couldn't worry about nuclearization and world domination. Once we deposed Saddam Hussein and created an opportunity for the Shiite majority in Iran, in Iraq, to make friends with their Iranian allies, we created an opportunity and an atmosphere in which Iran started to bloom, in which Iran's nuclear ambitions started to become greater. And, you know, and basically we created an opportunity for Iran's prosperity to grow by taking away Saddam Hussein in Iraq. We didn't mean to do it, the law of unintended consequences, but people who were looking at this with a clear eye knew that it would happen. Okay, so now let's move to 2020, the year of clarity and vision. And Iran and Iraq together are not happy with the United States and what we're doing in the Middle East region. So Iran decides to back an attack on our embassy. And in response to that, we decide, the Americans decide, that we're going to fight back against Iran. And what did we do? We killed their lead general this morning. We killed General Qasem Soleimani, who is the head of Iran's elite Quds force. We killed him in an airstrike at Baghdad's international airport this morning. Now, the reports are suggesting that that death, along with the death of Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, the deputy commander of Iran-backed militias, that that death could be a turning point in the Middle East and could draw the swift reaction of Iran, which is threatening to do so. So let me see if I can give you the latest, because I want to refresh the screen, right, and go right to the news. But what I am seeing is that Connecticut senators have already responded. The Pentagon said yesterday that the U.S. military killed General Qasem Soleimani at the direction of President Donald Trump. The Defense Department said Soleimani was actively developing plans to attack American diplomats and service members in Iraq and throughout the region. And it accused Soleimani of approving the attacks on the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad earlier this week. The Pentagon also said that the strike on Soleimani was aimed at deterring future Iranian attack plans. One of the first responses was from Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy, who tweeted, "Soleimani was an enemy of the United States. That's not a question. The question is this. As reports suggest, did America just assassinate, without any congressional authorization, the second most powerful person in Iran, knowingly setting off a potential massive regional war?" Senator Blumenthal tweeted, "Trump administration owes a full explanation of airstrike reports, all the facts, to Congress and the American people. The present authorizations for use of military force in no way covers starting a possible new war. This step could bring the most consequential military confrontation in decades." That's what our two senators have to say about that. Iranian state television has said that Soleimani was martyred in an attack by U.S. helicopters near the airport. That is what their state TV is reporting to their citizens. President Donald Trump has been vacationing on his estate at Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach. Thus far, he has sent out a tweet of an American flag. And many people cite these tensions to Trump's decision in May of 2018 to withdraw the United States from Iran's nuclear deal with world powers, which was struck under President Obama, his predecessor. And that deal was criticized from all sides at the time that it was signed. It was even criticized by Chuck Schumer. As you recall, he didn't sign on to it because he believed that it had so many loopholes that it was going to allow Iran to develop nuclear weapons anyway. And in fact, there was evidence that Iran was ignoring it and developing nuclear weapons anyway. So President Trump, with a bit of clarity, said, you know what? Since Iran is ignoring this, we're pulling out. Let's not pretend that this deal is in any way helpful to the United States. We're pulling out. Well, the pulling out of it had its own consequences, right? So one thing leads to another thing leads to another thing. And that pulling out of that, apparently, gave more license to Iran to keep doing what it was doing anyway. So in the meantime, two officials from the Iraqi Popular Mobilization Forces said Soleimani's body was torn to pieces in the attack, but they did not find the body of al-Muhandis. A senior politician said Soleimani's body was identified by the ring he wore. And as the head of the Quds, which is Iran's paramilitary revolutionary guard, Soleimani led all of its expeditionary forces, and those members have deployed into Syria's war as well as into Iraq. Soleimani rose to prominence by advising forces fighting the Islamic State group in Iraq and in Syria on behalf of the embattled Assad, who still is in Syria as we speak. Earlier Friday, an official with the Popular Mobilization Forces said seven people were killed by a missile fired at Baghdad International Airport, blaming the U.S. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that the United States is withdrawing all citizens from Iraq and telling them they need to get on a plane and go home immediately. They are preparing for a real war. In Baghdad, the AP reporting that Iran has vowed harsh retaliation for the strike. And while the State Department is urging its U.S. citizens to leave immediately, they said the embassy in Baghdad is now closed. All consular services have been suspended. Around 5,200 American troops are based in Iraq, where they mainly train Iraqi forces and help to combat the Islamic State militants. But the Supreme Leader Ayatollah al-Khomeini, we remember him, do we not? Can you imagine Khomeini is still there? He's been there since Carter. He's lived forever. He has warned that a harsh retaliation is waiting for the U.S. after the airstrike. And he called Soleimani the international face of resistance. Khomeini declared 3 days of public mourning for the general's death. And he already appointed somebody else to replace him as head of the elite force, a Major General Esmail Ghani. Iran summoned the Swiss Charge d'Affaires, who represents U.S. interests in Tehran, to protest the killing. Oil prices are now surging. We just heard they've gone up by 3% today. And once again, our Defense Department defends what it did because they say Soleimani was actively developing plans to attack American diplomats. So at 203-333-9422, would you like to comment on what may begin, hopefully not, some kind of another war in the Middle East, which is the last thing I think we need and probably the last thing we wanted? What do we make of all this? Do you have an opinion on this? If so, now's the time to call in at 203-333-9422. The subject is what's happening in Iran and Iraq.